for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Blah. Yeah, Drew's got his new book, Cracked, everybody.
About that.
I got the new CD. I mean, the new jacket on there.
You like it?
Yeah, it looks good.
It's awesome. Huh? Look at something on the inside.
Yeah.
Your
buddy. So it's a regular looking book, by the way.
Since we have these cool prints at the beginning of every chapter.
Yeah. It's worth it for the artwork alone. and the movie, the book has not come out yet, but when's it coming out?
August 20th.
August 20th. Yeah. You fans of Dr. Drew, or you fans of anybody, should go get this book.
2 years of my life invested in this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to make some money back.
No.
No.
I just like to have it be successful.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to rock? Did I give the phone number?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Or maybe not.
All right.
Did he?
I don't
know. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Angie?
Yes.
What's up?
Nothing much. I have two questions, one about my crotch and one about a threesome. Do you have a particular preference?
Well, Adam certainly might. Well, actually,
I'm probably a fan of, of both of them.
Yeah. Okay.
So go ahead, your pick.
That's good to know. Well, first, I guess I'll get the one out of the way that Adam's not going to care about so much. Okay, this guy was going down on me. And he, like, starts flipping out, and I'm like, what? And he's like, something came out of you. And I was like, okay. And like, he was all talking about how I was making him nervous and whatnot. But the thing was, like, it wasn't, like, squirting, I guess. It was kind of chunky, and I didn't know if it was a normal thing or what.
You know what? That's probably – were you getting near your period?
I don't really remember. This is, like,
right, probably you were getting near your period, and that period of
– what do you mean you don't remember? And that's something you'd think is, like, the first thing you'd focus on?
Well, no, it's not that it was actually her period arriving.
No, but I'm just saying, wouldn't she be thinking, where am I in my cycle? Something chunky came out of her?
I was just kind of freaked out.
Put yourself in that position, Adam. Would you have any idea when your cycle was coming? You.
No,
so there are a few chicks like
I'd
you.
I'd use a sea sponge as a tampon.
Forever.
Eternal. Maybe like a raccoon hat or something. But no. I'm asking Angie, though. Angie would know where she's at, right?
You would think she might. Anyway, but as you get nearer the period, there can be a thickening of the discharge. And sometimes the contractions just, you know, with orgasm and arousal and stuff can push some of that stuff out.
Well, like, I had never had anybody, like, give me an orgasm before. And, like, he didn't because he started flipping out. So I don't know if this is, like, something that I do or what.
No, you're not listening to me.
All right. Hold on. I don't like you.
I'm sorry.
You
got
to hang on. You got to hang on for a while. You're lucky I can't find the whole thing.
F10.
Drew, what is that whole thing? It's been a while.
There you go.
She's a good-looking chick who's got a ton of attitude.
Mm.
Doesn't like guys that much. There's nothing worse than a sassy 16-year-old, is there?
Well, you know what that means, though, right? It means
bad
abuse.
Bad man?
Yeah, abuse and
I know.
Traumas.
I always know the ones that have been abused because I want to
abuse them. You start abusing them. That's right. You start abusing immediately. It's like
you shut up, Drew.
Threshold.
I'll backhand you, you bitch. Angie?
Yes?
You're back on because I made Adam feel bad.
Where's your dad?
He's in the bedroom.
Do you not like him?
He's all right. I mean, like, he wasn't so great when I was growing up, but I didn't have, like, a horrible childhood or anything.
Just a little bit of smack around.
Are you cute?
Not really.
Really?
I'm all right, I guess. I'd be if I was drunk, but...
You would
You're fat.
Thanks, Drew.
Jeez, Anderson's back.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, not with that stuff coming out of you, though, you wouldn't do you.
But I don't know. I didn't know what it was. It could be perfect.
Like I'm saying, it's just your normal discharge that gets pressed out with the arousal. Okay, you contract a little bit during arousal.
All right, well, what's going on with the threesome?
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, actually more like a week ago, I have this friend. He's older than me. He's like 26. And he called me up and he was like, you want to hang out? And I'm like, sure, but I'm with one of my other friends. So he picks us up and we end up like drinking or whatever. And we're just kind of like hanging out. And me and my friend like go into like a restaurant to use the bathroom. And she says to me, she's like, you know, he's looking kind of good, blah, blah, blah. But I have a boyfriend, so I can do anything with you because that's not cheating. And we end up all kind of, you know, messing around. He didn't have sex with her and I didn't go down on her. But like she fingered me and like we made out, like, you know. Yeah. Pretty much everything, but like...
How old is she?
She's going to be 16 in a couple months.
16.
She's going to be... Oh, no, wait, Drew. She's not 16.
She's 15.
She's going to be 16 in a couple of months.
Yeah,
December 19th, she'll be...
Yeah.
That just
so my kids are 11. I always say
you're 15. She's 15. All right.
Me. So I'm the 16.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know you're 16. So the question is what?
I just wanted to know, like, your opinion. Do you think, well, afterwards, she had, like, acted like she completely forgot what happened, and I told her, and she got, like, really upset.
And well, one of two, what? What's the question?
I didn't know if, like, you thought she was, like, into it and didn't want to admit it, or if she just, like, you know, had no idea.
What, are you into her?
No, not like that.
Right, she's just right. Wondering what it means. All right, three possibilities. Okay. A, she's a severe trauma survivor and dissociates or even has multiple personalities when she does these things, or at least is just disconnected when she does. Two, you said you'd been drinking, and people with alcoholism, or at least potential for alcoholism, will black out relatively easily, so to speak, or tend to black out. So she might have been doing this in a blackout. Or number three, she's ashamed of it and doesn't want to admit it.
Also, the finger banging is like, you know when they experiment on monkeys and they put the probe into their brain and they press that little part and it you know, it screws with their memory or their motor skills, or something? Women have that with the vagina, too.
It screws with their memory?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can do that to the human brain. There's a connection.
The vaginal hippocampal circuit. Yes.
That's right. I can get it with my F finger.
Of course. There's even another circuit goes over the amygdala.
The right cuticle pressure on that area can erase all memory. Oh, yes.
You know what?
Forget about the seventh grade.
Think about it. There was an episode like that on Gilligan's Island, I think, wasn't there?
You get hit with a coconut. Yeah. You get finger banged with a coconut.
Yeah, yeah.
The only way to get your memory back is how, Drew?
Do it again.
More finger bang. Hey, you know, I was watching TV Friday, and they did a thing on the Teen Choice Awards are coming around.
Yes.
Now, Drew and I used to do the Teen Choice Awards back when Who Cares?
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know, your grandparents tell you about the Academy Awards used to be on the radio.
Right. It's the equivalent of us being on the Teen Choice Awards.
Teen Choice Awards were like nothing, and we used to do them, and they'd be like, we were always like, what? I was always like, what? Where is this? Santa Monica. Oh, Christ.
Yeah, no way.
Oh, Jesus. And it was always a pain in the ass, but they always got big stars and stuff. Not us, but they have other big stars to do it. But here's the whole thing. Now, we used to be on this circuit. When we used to do this show on TV, we even with the Man Show and stuff, we'd do some of these award shows, but they suck, and they put bunch of crap in the teleprompter, right. And everyone's a pain in the ass, and so we don't really do too much of it. But
and they don't ask us.
And they don't ask. Well, see, I'm asked. I got two different camps. I got the me and you camp, and then I got the me and Jimmy camp.
Right,
The point now, they always want me and Jimmy to do these like sports ones. But anyway, here's the thing: gift baskets used to be just that, gift baskets. You know, you'd get a robe if you had a good day. Like,
we went to Hollywood Squares and cleaned it up.
Drew, what is that? That's you got under.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going. So
you don't know. You couldn't tell?
No, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Were you going to talk about how they're good now or bad now?
Are you throwing a tantrum?
All right. Yeah.
Evidently.
All right. But Drew, what do you got?
I didn't know where you were going.
Didn't know where I was going.
Do you know where you're going, Michelle? No, I couldn't tell.
Oh, she's got to say that shit.
Do you have any idea what he's going to say next?
We got to replay this goddamn thing.
Do you have any idea where he's going to say next?
No.
No,
what do you mean what I was going to say next?
I was just participating in the conversation.
Okay, here's the point. I used to say, I'm going to recap.
Okay.
Back in the day, the gift basket was just that. It was a gift basket. You're lucky if you get a robe. These days, hold on. At the Hollywood Squares, we got something real good.
That was back in the day, too. And that's the only time.
I know, but you can't see. No.
And that was the only time I ever got anything good, and therefore I thought you were going to say how crappy things are now. That's where I thought, if anything, you were going.
I was going to say how bad things are today.
That's maybe I thought where you're going.
Yeah.
Because the only time we ever...
Because back in the day, gift basket, you know, it was just that. It was
robe
gift
is pretty
basket.
Good. Robe is, by most standards, be good.
Right. And today, you get nothing. You get a handful of... gravel.
I get, like, Crispets and things.
You get nothing.
The ones I've done. Except for the one time in the day, I got a real nice biscuit from the Hollywood Squares. You had different experience?
No.
No.
I didn't. I was going to get to the Teen Choice Awards, you know.
And what did they give?
Oh, they got good stuff.
So you've done that since we did it?
Yeah.
You heard about it? What did they do? What did they give?
It's not your fault. You don't know what's going on. It's not. You don't do it on purpose. It's not. I'm just tired, you know.
All right.
Diane?
Yes.
You 21?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have a friend that I've known all through college, and when I lived with her, she tried to commit suicide 3 times in the semester. She did it by pills and everything, and I was really, really supportive through the whole thing, thinking that maybe it's depression or whatnot. But now...
Thinking it's maybe depression.
Or whatever. And now it's gotten to the point where I'm almost bitter towards her, that I just can't stand her. I don't want to be around her. I don't want to know her. And I'm wondering if that's a judgment of my character.
Because
the thing is that she was really lazy. She got into a lot of drugs, and she said drugs were part of her life. And I don't feel sorry for her anymore.
All right. She's a drug addict, and she's making her symptoms worse. And loss is one of the things that captures the attention of drug addicts that finally gets them to treatment many times. So that's fine. Get out of her life. Anything you do that supports her increases the probability that she's going to use. You're enabling her. So just go ahead. That's fine.
Do you like her? You got a crush on her?
No. She's just my best friend. I met her the first day that I moved into the dorms, and we've been friends since for the past 4 years.
Why are you such a caretaker? Did you have to take care of somebody in your family growing up?
No, I think I have a psychology major. That's just something.
No. Didn't you have a parent who was sick or alcoholic or something?
No.
You're sure?
My parents are divorced.
And why were they divorced?
Drew, you always ask that. Your parents weren't divorced. Why did your parents get divorced? You don't know why your parents get divorced.
No. But if they got divorced because dad was drinking too much.
It happens. But most kids don't know. They just like, they
well,
get along.
But if she thinks about it, she never, you know.
All right. Why'd your parents get divorced?
I think my dad was cheating on my mom. I don't know.
Yeah. That's good. See, that's concrete. Mm. How old were you? Older?
11.
No. Oh.
Okay. Did you have to take care of mom after that or dad or? Did you become parentalized?
Really.
Did you become
the
parent?
He tried to get me out of it as much as possible.
You didn't become the parent in the family?
All right, hold on a second. Drew.
Yeah.
All young people get into that caretaker thing, especially chicks. It's like part of the drama. They got a friend. It's that sort of St. Elmo's fire crap, you know what I mean? Everything's very dramatic when you're 19, you're 20, your friend's in trouble.
Right.
There's all that stuff.
No, they feed into the drama. They want to be part of the drama sometimes.
Right? Yeah, it is. I could remember those things that were weekly occurrence amongst the group I hung out with in North Hollywood. Somebody got hurt, someone was high on drugs, somebody need bailing out of jail, or whatever. Everyone would buy into it. So, what I mean is... Your mom didn't have to be a quadriplegic and you have to wipe her every day in order to be that way.
I'm not suggesting that. But if you think about the group you hung out with, there's a lot of alcoholics amongst the parents and
Although no one was a caretaker. Everyone just split.
But at some point they may have felt that, you know, their needs were subjugated to the parent to keep the parent sort of patched together. Some of that.
I'm just saying from the age of, especially for girls, from like 15 to 25, they're very enmeshed
in their
friendships, even though they hate each other's guts. And there's tons of that weird sort of drama thing going on. And when drama happens to one of them, it happens to the other. And this is why we hate them, because they bring it home. And they're like, you know, Tammy Johnson, who works over in accounting. She walked by my cubicle today, and she gave me a look, like, and I'm like, what'd she say? Oh, she didn't have to say anything. It's like, oh, Christ, no. And you're thinking to yourself, just keep nodding. Nod and grunt.
You then start thinking about other things.
Then start thinking about other things, but once in a while, toss something in. Oh, man. Or a well-placed, what'd you do? It's good too. That's nice. That's better than a grunt, you know. And you know, Tammy, she thinks she's the queen of Siam, walking around with her fake boobs. What'd you do? Sometimes you screw them up, though. You know.
Yeah.
You'll throw in a what'd you do when you should have thrown in a
Yes. They're like, what'd I do?
Yeah. And then once in a while, it starts going down. Now here's where you get into trouble when you start treating them like adults. Like you go. Well, now listen, we've talked about Tammy before. If she's going to give you, Now you've joined Tammy's camp.
You're now in with Tammy.
Why don't you go F Tammy? That's what you want to do. You think Tammy's husband would? No, Tammy's husband would kill himself after minute 10 of this diatribe you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do? Uh-huh. You know, oh, that bitch. And then what you do? You know, what's not bad, too, is a couple of these, too. And then what you do? I would have done the same thing. That's good, too. It's a combo. No, that's a 1-2. That's no, like, that's did, double jab
right
cross.
You did the right
you
thing.
You did the right thing. Yeah. You did the right thing. Yeah. And then once in a while, they try to get going, you know, like, I got a good mind to call my supervisor. And you're like, wait if she does it one more. Wait if she walks by and gives you the stink eye one more time before you actually have it written up. Kelly?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, see, 3 years ago, I got into going to church. And there became my best friend, my hero, my mentor, all this.
Mm-hmm.
Best friends.
You did the
years.
Right thing.
Yeah, I did. Best friend for like 2 years.
That bitch.
Wait, yeah. Who was your best friend?
Her mentor, Tammy.
My youth pastor.
Yeah.
How old is the youth pastor?
He's 31 now.
31.
31. And he, when you joined the church, became your idol.
Not my idol so much as like a mentor.
Okay. This was, you were how old?
I'm 22.
How old were you when you joined the church?
19.
19?
Yeah.
All right, and what's the question?
Okay, he moved away. He got transferred to another church. At that point, we started kind of talking dirty online, and it's moved.
How exactly? I'm very, very curious. How did that transition come about?
What was the moment?
I mean, what is that moment?
What happened?
It's the moment that baby Jesus cried, no doubt.
Well, and let me tell you, dirty talk starts online.
It starts with the girl.
Let me explain.
She's got to offer something up.
No, here's what it starts with. It starts with, what are you doing? And it's like, I just got out of the shower.
Oh, it wasn't like that.
What are you wearing? You know, that's how it goes. Mm-hmm.
Not how it was.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you do? That, but the first time I was talking about this guy, I was dating.
You did the right thing.
You're right. Hold on. Sorry. Drew and I were in talk to our wives mode. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this guy I was dating and my limits with him. And then my youth pastor says, well, what do you like?
Mm-hmm.
And it freaked me out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moment you go, okay, I'm out of here.
Right. So you answered, right?
I have some weird codependence thing, I guess.
Well, yeah. What did you answer with? Anal?
No, I was just like, well, I don't know. But then, you know, it was hard for me to say no to this guy.
Mm-hmm. It's
not an abuse type relationship. It was consensual.
Well,
it was always like, okay, yes.
No. It means the fact that you go down that path with him means that you're somehow been made a victim, and you're used to being a victim.
Well, just the fact that you were 19 and you were joining the church and getting in the youth group, I mean, that smacks of the wheels coming off the wagon there.
Where was the victimization in your childhood?
How do you mean?
Somewhere you felt powerless completely.
Not so much powerless as I respected him and I...
No. Stop.
Drew, I don't want to get into this. I just want to get into what he did.
Childhood?
So what'd you do? Did you have sex with him?
No.
No.
You never did?
No.
Okay, so you just had dirty talk over the computer.
Dirty talk, and we've screwed around.
Okay.
We haven't had... Oh my
God, okay, my God. So are you in love with him?
What?
Are you in love with him?
Not at all.
All right, and just terminate this relationship. And if you want to do people a favor, you should report this. This is a miscarriage of his position.
Well, it's refreshing to see a guy who's interested in women. In the church, isn't it?
It's a Ned Flanders going over and screwing the neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
Here's another element. He's married to somebody I really respect and like and look up to.
You're lying. Okay. What makes you lie?
You moved away, right?
No, he did.
Oh, he did. Okay, so either way, you're not living in the same town, right?
No, but we see each other quite often because of the church and all that stuff.
Why? Why quite often? How far away did he move?
About 200 miles.
And it's that often, huh?
I would say once a month.
All right. Well, how about you just once a month, you give him a nice little how you doing, and you walk to the other side of the party and grab some punch.
Stay away from this
guy. Just steer clear. But don't get involved with the fracas, all right?
And, Kelly, if you've been a victim in the past, and this is just another victimization, it may be hard for you to sort of get out from under his web. And if it is, you got to tell someone to get some support for this. You've got to get away from this guy. This guy is not a good guy.
Here's what people aren't very skilled at, removing themselves from the situation they say they want to be removed from.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, the victims are. But here's what the other thing I've been really thinking a lot about lately. You know,
not even necessarily the victims, just the people that have a drama they want to reenact, no matter what it is.
All right. But
chaos.
Yes, the people that have a need for drama. But the thing I've been thinking of that our society, our culture, does not deal with on any way whatsoever, is the possibility that somebody is different than what they project into the world.
Yes.
You know, if somebody's got it together, they have it together.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Peterson can't be a murderer. Couldn't be. He's got two together. Or this girl, he's a pastor. He's got to be a good guy. He's a pastor. He works with the youth groups. Can't be a pervert that victimizes people. He can't be.
Yeah. Well, also, too, just people's, the way they dress, how, you know, whether, I mean, look, I mean, let's face it, if you're if you have a strange bald spot and your teeth are yellow, people are going to think you have about 1,000% higher chance of committing a crime. For no good reason other than a rough genetic hand.
It works both ways. But the really scary thing to me is that if you can kind of put it out there that you're together, if you look together, people do not care to, do not know how to, and don't spend any time scratching under the surface. That's what's TV, you know, right? All the people in the news and all the interviews that you see with celebrities.
I mean, it's like the whole Kobe Bryant thing. It's is he capable of this? Oh, who knows what he's capable of? Right. No one knows him.
Absolutely, see
him on a Sprite commercial, for Christ's sake.
Yes,
seems like a nice guy. Yeah, well, so does everybody seems like a nice guy. Yes. That's everyone's plan, by the way. You can't walk around stroking your meat and clutching a dagger. I mean, we would if we could.
Yeah.
But Ted Bundy seemed like a great guy.
But we've been so mediaized. You know, we believe celebrities when they tell us their load of crap stories. Villains in the movie look like villains. Villains on TV act like villains.
Right.
That's not the human. The human does not work that way.
Yeah. No, I love this celebrity the celebrity story. I like when they come clean, but they don't really come clean. They go, I looked into my four-year-old's daughter's eyes, and I put down the bottle right then, and I haven't picked it up since. Because when I saw my own reflection in her eyes, I didn't like what I saw. So I put the bottle down, and I walked away. And that's the last drink I ever had. Oh, fantastic. Thanks. Yeah. How about the weren't you in a rehab in Canada for 6 months?
And how about the sodomy with the 14-year-old? Oh, no, it's all different. Except for that. I had it all together.
I just walked away.
Yeah. People buy the BS. It's all that.
No, you know, what I'm talking about is what you're talking about, but more specifically, every time somebody quit something as a celebrity, they had the strength and the inner fortitude just to do it themselves.
Like,
I put the bottle, this is the last line of coke I did. I said, no, I got a 4-year-old now. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no, you did a bunch of rehab and you lapsed 6 times before that.
Yeah.
You're turning yourself to some sort of hero now for being a cokehead. Mm. All right. And the problem is it sends the message to everyone else is, you're just weak.
You should be able to do it.
If you had the strength, you could do it. Yeah. All right. Where are we, Drew?
We're time to take a break.
Drew's pointing at the clock that I can't see. Let me just say this. Getting back to the gift basket thing. Don't talk, Drew. Just listen. Just not. I'm watching Entertainment Tonight. They're talking about the gift baskets. Now, I know you're pretty hyped up that you got yourself a bathrobe and a brick of Toblerone when you did Hollywood Squares in 1967. But gift baskets now are like Cartier watches and designer jewelry and stuff. Like,
what?
I mean, I can't believe you haven't heard any of this. But and how is it you've never heard of anything I talk about? And I've heard of everything you're talking about.
I don't watch TV.
All right, quiet. The gift basket at like the Oscars is like $25,000. You know, little home electronics and stuff.
Wow.
You know, all this like state of the art, whatever. They're going crazy. Point is, Teen Choice Awards, they're giving away scooters. Drew, what are you over there? Are you like from Beacons? Just relax. They're giving away, and I'm not talking about zippers with, you know, little zipper scooters with little plug-in chargeable 9-volt batteries or something. I'm talking about full-blown, you know, Vespa-looking scooters. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're giving away scooters. And we got like a gift certificate for a TGI Fridays and a pair of flip-flops.
I don't remember a basket even from that parents.
They got, I think they had a thing, like Nike had a thing where you could go get some shoes.
Right. No,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that stupid one-size-fits-all
right.
thing. It's like, hey, we got a breakthrough in shoes. Yeah. These fit, they range from a woman's size 7 to a black's 13, which is a different shoe size. It's like, how about I go into the big five and get the 10.5 I normally wear? No. These ones your wife can wear, and then halfway into the camping trip, you could wear them. It's like, yeah, no one is comfortable now. Yeah, that's the shoes I got. They're too tight. They're like one size fits all, but really no size fits any.
Right.
That's what we got. Now that we're not doing teen choice, it's all scooters and jewelry.
Wow.
All right.
We got to get ourselves back.
We got to get back.
Shows.
We got to get back.
And work on this, please.
We'll get back. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. All right, who's coming? David Alan Greer coming in here tomorrow night. Dag. One of the funniest men on the radio, Dag.
Well, certainly he's on this show.
He's always in rare form on this show. So it'll be good to see him. And Mark McGrath, Tracy Lord's coming up later this week. So... got a good week planned for you. All right, let's see. Let's go to Allie, who's 13. Allie?
Hi.
What's up?
Okay. Like, a couple weeks ago, I went to this show, like a concert, and I had met this boy, and we were just kind of making out in a parking garage, and he was like, do you want to go all the way? And I was like, sure, but I'm not really sure if we did it or not, because I don't know if he went inside of me.
All the way in a parking garage?
Yeah.
Like on the hood of a Volvo?
Just on the ground on top of sweatshirts.
Sir Walter Raleigh. He lays his jacket out for the young lady, and then he bangs the bejesus out of her on it.
So much just, so she has
like,
no idea whether she was injured.
It's like homeless people doing it?
Yeah, I guess.
Wow. What's up, baby? You're 13, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of young for the parking lot grind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you're asking us whether he entered you or not. Let me ask Drew. Drew, did he? You were 3,000 miles away and asleep at the time. Did he or not?
Not, given that she has no knowledge as to whether he did or not. What year were you born?
90.
What month?
March.
Okay. Just checking her age here.
All right. And
my concerns about the
Drew's a little suspicious. Okay. Well, wait a minute.
All right.
We'll be able to tell if it's real. Do you know what the word veracity means?
No.
Okay. It's real. It's one of our callers. Okay. So did he enter you or not? We'll ask you.
Well, I don't know because I don't know.
What that would feel like?
Do you not have any feeling below your waist?
I can walk, so I have feelings.
Let me ask you this.
But if you were sexually abused as a youngster...
Let me ask this. No, wait a minute. When you go to the dentist, do you have any way of knowing whether his hands go inside your mouth or not?
Yeah.
You can tell?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Use that same set of criteria for your vagina.
Well, it's different.
No, not really. It's attached to you. There's somebody trying to enter it. And, I don't have a vagina, but I think I would have a pretty good idea of when someone was in there.
He was limp, so I couldn't really tell.
Now, if he was limp...
He would have difficulty entering.
He would.
Say he didn't.
Yeah,
so we'll say no.
Okay, because everyone was like, well, did you bleed and did it hurt? And I was like,
no. Okay. No. We'll call you a virgin still, but slow it down.
Okay, and then I was wondering, if you do it in the ass, are you still a virgin?
I'm wondering the same thing.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
We're going bogus here now. I'm going bogus.
I am too, but just ask. Let's keep going.
Because I did it then a couple weeks ago, and that was my first time with doing it.
In the butt?
Yeah.
No, this is bogus.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not lying to you.
No, you're lying. You are lying like a bath mat. You're lying.
I'm not lying. I swear
like a wet bath mat. Like when a fatso gets out of the shower and can't find his towel.
Well, let's hear the
That's
story.
How you're lying.
Let's hear the story attached to this one. When did that happen?
Okay. I was at my friend's house, and it was with her older brother's friend. And we went up to his room, and then he was like, well, what would you do if someone did this to you? And I was like, I don't know. And then so he just kind of, like, flipped me over on the bed and did it, and it hurt really bad. And then so I was kind of using that to judge if I had done it in the front, which I don't think I did because it didn't hurt.
Yeah, bogus.
Yeah. Sorry, we're going bogus, Alan. I wish we could help you. But nobody could be this dumb.
No, I'm just, like, retarded when it comes to sex, I swear.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right.
We'll buy that.
All right. Where's your dad?
In his house somewhere.
And when's the last time you spoke to him?
4th of July.
All right.
And what kind of relationship
1974.
What kind of relationship do you have with him?
Oh, we're pretty cool. He's kind of an alcoholic, though, so...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Allie, no more acting out, please. I don't know if it sounds so... She's so casual about it, and it's so bizarre and far-fetched. It's hard to tell if she's serious or not, but in the event that she is serious, oh, man. When I'm in charge, I will tag people like this and follow them like migrating caribou.
Yeah,
I'll keep an eye on them.
She needs structure. Help.
Here's what I'm going to do.
This is when the scrambling has occurred. This is what happens.
Let me tell you how my tagging system is going to work for these chicks.
Yeah.
Whenever I see them start to go horizontal.
A team is released. A squad.
Yeah. Now, what it is obviously their head moves around a little bit, and they may, that kind of thing. But when they get past 45 degrees, that's when my
dispatched.
Team comes in,
dispatched.
Yeah, because they could be getting bent over something or nailed in a parking structure.
Yeah.
Now, they are going to have to learn to sleep standing up.
Of course. That's a small issue.
Small price to pay. Raquel?
Yes?
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. Okay, I met this guy from Norway. He's an exchange student.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed pretty young when I met him. We started talking because he just lived like around the corner from me. But anyway, we kind of got together or whatever, and now I only see him when it's possible because his parents were okay with it at first. But then,
Slow down.
Okay.
These are his Norwegian parents.
Yeah, because I would always like be outside because they're always playing pool or something.
Hold on. Hold on.
You know what I love? I love when you go, hold on. These are his... I'm sorry! That's like, really? Can't just squeeze out the last goddamn two syllables so we can get some clarity? You gotta just pounce on the last two, and now we gotta... And then power forward after that, so we have to retrack again?
My question is, she said exchange...
Harvard!
With suggestion...
Sabala!
What's it about?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did the right thing.
Okay,
if he's an exchange student, what's he doing here with his parents?
No, he's with his host parents here.
Host parents.
That's
okay,
what Drew,
that's what I was getting
we
at.
Would have found that out
in 20 minutes.
Actually, Saturday night. So you had to pounce right when his question came.
So the exchange parents are watching him pretty carefully, right?
Well, yeah. Well, at first they were rather cool because I've been lied to a lot, and I don't like to lie to people. I just think honesty is just,
Shut up.
Well, seriously. Anyway,
everybody spare everyone their sort of half-baked philosophies on, I'm a person, I've been lied to, and I don't believe that I know, but I don't know, I'm a straightforward guy, but I don't tell you, I'll look you in the eye, and I'll tell you what are you selling cars? All right, so what happened?
We live kind of close, like three houses down or so.
My next question is, what is a Norwegian exchange student doing in Upland?
Oh, actually, it's Montclair.
Yes.
Oh, well, that makes it much
still,
clearer.
Still, what's in it for him?
I don't know. Well, see, I guess he's had, like, a bad life over there because
I guess his
mom signed him up to she just wanted to get rid of him.
Okay, so he's 19.
He's
16.
Yeah.
He's 16. Okay.
And you didn't know that.
Oh, you thought he was 19.
He looks so much older, and he's
just say yes.
Yeah, the way he talks and everything.
Yeah, just yes. So he's 16, you're 24.
Yeah.
And that's freaking the host parents out. And also, the host parents feel responsible, maybe even more so than the biological parents, sure. This is their ward, you know? Yeah. They have to take care of this kid. So
no,
they're freaked out.
That, but see, this is where it gets kind of weird. Because when I met him or whatever, he wanted to tell them that I was like 17 or something. And I was like, no, I'd rather just tell them the truth because it's going to come out. I'm going to be 24, so whatever. And I talked to his mom. I pulled her aside and I told her my real age, and she's like, "Oh,
hold on,
no,
hold on, hold on, shut up." Okay. His mom,
his or his mom. Host? Okay, his mom said it was fine.
His
hold
mom,
on. His mom,
his host,
or his host. Host mom. Okay. Host.
You understand? There's a huge difference between the guy's mother and the folks that are letting him squat in the garage. Right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
We don't know these people.
Stop saying like his mom. That's not his mom. He's 16.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know them. We don't know. We don't have an image in our mind of who you're describing, who you're discussing. You got to be clear.
The sixth time we say his mom,
like, yeah,
you can catch on.
Continue.
All right, but it's. With the world's dumbest callers on this show. Really? I mean, really, his mom? You can't make a distinction between the guy's biological mother and his host parents? I mean, it's not even like it's his godparents or anything. Some family squatting with in Monrovia.
Montclair.
All right. So you talked to his host
his
mom.
His host mom, yes. I pulled her aside, and you know, she was totally fine with it. She's like, oh, cool, that means you can drink or whatever. Because, see, they give them beer, and, you know, they seem pretty laid back, pretty liberal.
Right.
So the next day, he clicked.
You better be careful, because the law is 21.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
He's got diplomatic immunity. Go ahead.
Yeah, so then the next day, just from the very next night, you know, he's like, oh, we need to talk. He's like, I'm not going to be able to see you anymore because they just, you know, said that you were too old and this and that.
All right.
You know,
but listen.
Translation, he's done.
He's done. He's banging a 17-year-old from the high school.
Are you saying?
Yeah. And I don't know what's going on with you that you're 24 and you're actively pursuing a 16-year-old Norwegian kid.
See, that's why I called. I mean.
All right.
Okay,
what's
the direction? Yeah.
You can't date the fourth Hansen brother when you're 24. All right?
By the way, now it's probably about older.
Probably older than 16.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's it.
Do you have any kids?
No, I do not.
All right. You've been married or anything?
Nothing.
Okay, right, what's up? You a big gal?
No, actually, I'm pretty petite. I weigh like about 100 pounds. I'm like 5'2 or something.
She's intrigued by this foreign
guy. All right. Go find yourself a guy your age, all right?
I have one, too. But he's mean to me.
Yeah, you have to find a nice guy.
Yeah, you can't deal with an abusive relationship by acting out on young people.
Yeah, and you're dating a guy who's non-threatening because the guys that are your age haven't treated you well.
You go for a boy toy as opposed to something you see as a real relationship, and that's not okay.
I talked to his mom.
Oh.
His mom.
And she was cool. Dude.
Jesus. All right, listen. We got to regroup. I'm going to entertain myself. You know, I just belched up some lasagna, which is nice.
Yeah,
it's nice.
A little meat sauce.
It's like culinary masturbation. It's like sometimes you close your eyes, you think, yeah, remember high school? I got that chick. Belching is sort of that with food. Like I was like, whoa.
Lasagna. You share it with your partner. For me, it's more like some sort of game show with name that meal.
Flank steak. Ice cold. Blah.
Tortellini.
Lukewarm.
Gnocchi.
You're getting hot now. Blah. You're surface of the sun.
I can name that meal in four belches.
Blah. All right, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. All right.
Two's on Cusack. My kisser. It's Lakiza. Drew, I thought you'd have it down by now, man. What's up? I'm just doing the boys part.
Drew doesn't have anything down by now. Hey, Anderson, he punches the microphone every night. He's been on the radio for 19 years. You think he's got this thing down in 3 weeks? Thank you.
I was hoping.
We're hoping.
You got it. I just don't want. I don't want to sing both parts.
Yeah. Now he just thought you'd put a little more backbone into the actual singing.
Oh, really?
Part.
That's as good as I get.
Well, someone who's trained like you are professionally.
Okay.
Doing an operatic tone.
Music. No, I can't do it.
Oh, come on, you could do it. Give it a little opera.
No. Can't even do it.
Well, then quiet down now.
All right. There you go. That's the call.
Jeff. Jeff.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
You're 19. You're 19. What's your question?
Yeah, first I want to say a long time listener, first time caller.
Great.
And I actually have two questions.
All right.
First question is, I've been with my girlfriend for about 2 years and some months now. Mm-hmm. And she was the first girl I had sex with, but not the only girl I had sex with. But when I had sex with her, when she has an orgasm and comes out like pee, and I remember in some of your older shows, you was like, well, it's not always pee. It's like it could be like, you know, just a really heavy orgasm. But I mean, all the signs of that, you know, the smell, the texture, and all that crap. So I'm wondering, you know, is there a way I can get her not to pee all over herself when she has an orgasm? Or
if it really is the female orgasmic incontinence, it's just one of them things, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And if it's an ejaculate, which is the other sort of possibility, and actually the more common thing, it's also a good thing. You're doing your job well.
Either way, you're coaxing something out of her.
You should be proud of yourself.
Yeah, she can't fake it. Although, if a chick really wants to fake it and is that dedicated to it, she can just pee all over the guy. But this is when you're having sex. You're not going down on her, are you?
Yeah, it happened a couple of times. I'm going down on her. We were like trying some new things one time. I was hitting off at the 69. One time, I got the whole bath in the face one time. I'm like, okay,
she was on top in the 69?
Yeah. Go balls in the eyes thing. So.
Yeah. My doctor told me no more 69 for that reason.
Wow.
Yeah. I got a detached retina from the squirter.
I remember told another caller that if she just relaxes and, you know, focus on what she's doing, you know, it wouldn't happen. But I mean,
No, I never said that.
Oh, okay.
No. Drew never said that. Now, this is something she does. And I mean, it is as involuntary, I guess, as, you know, some people get heartburn. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what, you can't yell at them and tell them to stop getting heartburn.
Right. Yeah, to stop the contractions associated with orgasm, which is what pushing the urine out.
Yeah, that's just how she's put together.
Yeah.
And I agree with Drew. It's a neat novelty at first. You get a little, you know, like a hunter bring a trophy home.
Yeah.
You got you got a sheet full of trophy, but, two and a half years, I could see where it started.
Hang it and show it to the elders, you know?
Yeah, I know, but 2.5 years of getting squirted with urine every time you jumped in the sack.
I actually think there probably are medicines that would help this, but it's not sort of in the medical literature. The medicines
how come
that help
no one's working
urine.
On it?
Because no one talks about it. The only place on earth this is discussed is this program.
Really? Not yeah. What about the 700 Club?
What's that? I don't know what
really?
That
is. Don't know the 700 Club?
No, what is that?
Pat Robertson's?
Yes.
700.
All right, got it. All right, well.
Cool. Drew, how old are you?
The context is so...
Yeah, well, that would be a joke.
Yeah, I get it.
It's a joke.
See,
it's a religious programming.
Got it.
Okay,
bye. I'm sure they talk about that.
It wouldn't be funny if I said something that you would hear it on.
Yeah.
All right. Don't know who Huell Hauser is either, do you?
Mm-hmm. Well, now I do.
Yeah. Janet? Drew,
hello?
You break gas in here?
No.
Really? Okay.
Hi.
It's tough because we have our new female engineer who runs the board over here at K-Rock. We moved stations now, and normally it's bombs away. But now it's kind of weird because
you're in front of Michelle.
But
timid in front of her.
Well, I'll
light a few farts here. She'll bring around.
I haven't had gas yet, I got to say.
Okay.
Well, you know what? You know, for me, Drew, it's twice a year, but it's solid.
I haven't seen you light a fart in about 2 years. It's been really disappointed.
You know why I'm not lighting my farts?
You don't wear the right pants.
Right. I'm not wearing denim.
Well, wear some denim, for God's sakes.
It's too hot, and I'm too lazy. Okay, but when I start, you don't want me to start wearing denim. The sparks will start flying.
Yeah, but when you light, well, first of all, I want to see the full effect in this new studio. It'd be kind of.
Yeah. Michelle, you ever seen a fart lit? No. Well, girls don't think, they don't think you can. Drew,
this will impress you.
Yeah.
If you thought this guy was a genius before.
4th of July in my pants.
It's a mushroom cloud. A huge cloud emerges. Oh, yes.
Listen, I lit a cigarette off of a fart.
Ew.
When I was me and the Wheeze did it. First roommate, like that's about 20, probably.
That's not.
We're bored. Hey, that was before cable. What were you gonna do? You know what I mean? Had to make your own fun. We didn't have this goddamn Game Boy. We had to light cigarettes off asses.
See, anybody that speaks negatively of giving kids Game Boys and things like that, I submit to you, Adam Carolla.
That's right. All right, now we got to take a break because Drew's been talking about his ass so much. Janet, hold on.
Okay.
You work with a lesbian. You thought she was a guy.
Yeah.
And now you were attracted to her because you thought she was a he?
Yeah.
His name Victoria?
And, yeah, it's timely. Yeah. And,
700 Club.
Well, all right. I was doing that for you. Hey, Janet?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of the 700 Club?
No.
Okay.
Victoria?
Janet? No.
No, okay.
Okay. Hang on a second, Janet. Let me ask you this, Drew. Maybe it's just from working with Tara. Don't call me Tara, goddammit. But is society getting, A, stupider, and B, more sort of segmented, which is...
less interested in everything that has become before.
Right? Not only that, but I'm into skateboard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you heard of World War One or World War Two? It's like, I'm into skateboarding.
Yeah,
like, sure. There's not this need to know anything about anything other than the thing you're interested in, and everyone sort of... backs that up. It's like, you should be the world's greatest hoop player. You should be into skateboarding. You should know everything about goth music or metal or whatever. And then all the other stuff doesn't matter because you have your field of expertise.
Yes, a lot of that.
Michael Jordan, no one wants to know what he knows about world history, do they?
Right, we'll keep yelling about this during the break.
All right. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. David Allen Greer in here tomorrow night. That kid is a ball of talent.
Oof.
Oh, yeah.
He'll show up at Westwood One, too.
Yeah.
We got to alert, and you got to alert him. Yeah, yeah.
He'll go there. Yeah. He'll, but always good on the radio.
I
and
like
always
a
good
girl
to
with
see
a
him.
Big butt, but fruit in the middle. It's juicy, it's sweet, because it's fruit and in the middle. Shaka naka.
Gotta give him a sing more.
We'll give him a sing. We'll give him a throw up. He loves to throw up. All right, let's talk to Janet. So, Janet.
Yeah.
You're 18. You like someone at work. You thought it was a dude. Turned out to be a chick. Lesbo. Butch, though, right?
What?
Butch. She was butch. Looked like a guy.
Oh, uh-huh.
What kind of work do you do?
I work at a grocery store.
Grocery store?
A department grocery. You work at a grocery store? What do you do?
I put things back away.
Oh, okay.
That's what clarifies things nicely.
Quit bragging. All right. So you put things back away. Okay. And so what's the question?
Well, it's like, if I go out with her, because she asked me out, and it's like, I don't know if I should go out with her only because I feel like I'm not attracted to her as a girl, and I don't know if it'll hurt her feelings because I'm attracted to her as a guy, and like, I still don't see her as a guy.
Maybe she's attracted to you as a dude, too, and it'll work out.
No, I don't.
It's a little bit of a mind bender what you're doing to yourself here. You're pretending she's something she's not.
Seems like it's going to end at a certain point, and it won't be a great thing.
Well, at some point, it's just going to be her as a person you're involved with.
If she's a person,
somebody you're into, then it's sort of, well, whatever. But if you're not gay, and if being gay is...
Well, don't you have to be at least have to be able to entertain the notion of being gay if you're going to date a woman?
Or do you think maybe that will sort of not matter if you actually like the person?
I think it wouldn't really matter.
That's something women can do that men can't do. You see what I mean? they fall in love with a person.
No, you still have to have some lesbian in you in order to do that. You can't just take a perfectly straight 18-year-old chick and ever start dating a girl and like, well, she's got a really nice personality, so what are you going to do? I mean, if that was the case, 90% of women would be dating other women. Hey, Janet?
Uh-huh.
And then they would all sit there and it'd be like, I'd do the same thing.
You did the right thing.
You did the right thing. That bitch. All right. So I'm a little confused by you because you're not a lesbian.
No.
Right? Are you bi?
No.
Are you confused?
This is like the first time. Yeah, I'm so confused right now.
Are you confused just because of this relationship or were you confused going in?
I'm confused about this.
This relationship. Okay. Because you were attracted to her when you thought she was
a woman. What if she put a strap on? Would you go for that? You understand I have to ask these questions.
Yeah. So long as she had a penis, that'd be good enough.
Would that be okay?
Even belong to somebody else.
I don't know.
All right, look.
I think you're getting into trouble.
This is not going to work.
Yeah.
Plus, you're getting it. First off, you're getting into it with someone you work with.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Secondly,
those lesbians are very vindictive. You screw with them. Oh yeah. They're proud. They're proud people, but they're vindictive, and they'll come at you, and they'll cut you. They'll cut you too. A lot of them, most of them, carry blades.
Really? So scalping or what?
They'll cut you in that way, like when the Sharks and the Jets would go at it, like in a real 50s type gang urban fight, you know, where they get like a stiletto and they do a thing where they throw it back and forth with one hand and the other, and it says, yeah! They cut you.
Right, I see. They cut at you. All right.
They're butch that way. They can handle a knife and a throwing star, too, some of the Asian ones.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Really? Anyway, have a little top hat they throw and chop people's heads off.
Like an odd job from James Bond?
Yeah.
No, they don't. No. Speaking of James Bond, so don't date her.
No. This is not, it's too much. It's too crazy.
All right, so
And not fair to the girl, either, even though she may be really into Janet.
I was sitting home last night, like I tend to do. I spent Friday and Saturday night just sitting home, and I just drank. I just watch TiVo and I drink. That's what I do.
At what point do you expect me to? Do you not want me to go? Okay, you're coming with me. It's time.
Where?
It's time.
You got a new bar?
To the hospital.
You please drink.
At what point? When is that? When is that not supposed to?
It's a little red line. It's after dinner. I eat dinner at 5:30 and I get drunk until 4 in the morning. But it's after. It's a little alcohol. Yeah. It's technically after dinner.
I started calling my breakfast dinner.
Go ahead. I had a Denver omelet for dinner. About 10 a.m., and I started drinking, but it was after dinner. I break open some red wine, and I sit there, and I nurse the bottle throughout the evening.
Is it a bottle or a box?
It's a bottle. It comes in a bottle now, but it's got one of those synthetic corks.
The big bottle?
No. Okay. No, it's regular. It's like four glasses.
A liter.
Yeah, or whatever. I take that down. 750 milliliter, probably. All right, anyway, and I'll do the bottle. I'll polish that bottle, but I got to start a little earlier. I got to start about 6:37 in the evening, and then I get a nice slow burn buzz going. But so what I'll do is
before the New Year's out.
My wife was out, and so I wanted to watch a pay-per-view movie.
All right.
And
is that porn? Yeah.
No. Okay. I got tons of porn.
Right.
I watch pay-per-view, and the whole... Now, here's what I base it on. Not the movie I want to see, but the movie my wife wouldn't agree to see, even if I don't want to see it.
Got it.
So I got to the new James Bond movie, and I was like, oh, she'll never want to see this, so now I got to watch it, even though I didn't really feel like watching
What'd
it.
What'd you think?
That was just stupid, but...
Flaming turd.
But here's the thing that was weird about it. I don't know why this just popped into my head, but there's a scene... where one of the bad guys is looking at a attaché case filled with diamonds. Just then a helicopter explodes and these diamonds go, you know, get embedded sort of in his face as if like somebody putting pellets in a shotgun and shooting you. And if they'd all just stuck in your forehead and your cheeks and stuff like that. Well, years later, he sees the guy still got all the diamonds stuck in his and it's funny. Now, it's one thing. Now, I know once in a while someone gets shot and the piece of the bullet casing goes into some cavity in their brain and it becomes more dangerous to take it out. They leave this little shard.
Yeah.
It's, 6 inches into the guy's skull.
Right.
When the stuff is visible, when it's essentially surface mounted. I mean, let's go ahead and replace diamond with fish food or some kind of pellets or something.
Pellets.
Just go ahead and just pop those out. Like if it's just birdshot in there.
Not only would you scrape it out just with your fingernail, your body will push them out.
Yeah.
In the healing process.
Yeah, you get it. Right. I've gotten 1,000 splinters. Eventually, your body will just shove it out and reject whatever it is. I don't know how long a 4-carat diamond is going to stay set in your forehead. But so this guy was like diamond face.
And he lives around bad guys. One of them's not going to go, hey, give me one of those?
Yeah. Your face is worth like $4 million. Tell me someone's not going to get drunk and take a nail file and pop one out. When you fall asleep, and so it was funny. It's like, yeah, this guy's permanently scarred by these diamonds that are stuck into his face, and he has like 14 of these diamonds stuck into his cheek and his forehead and everything. And it's like they were more out than they were in.
I mean,
you could clearly see it, but it's like I just kept looking. Someone want to take a popsicle stick and just pop one of those off? I think the implication was any other thing that would have come out, but this is a diamond, this is the world's hardest material or something. I don't know what it was, but the idea that this guy had diamonds in his face 3 years later when James Bond saw him, I thought, something's wrong.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is one of these guys, like once in a while you see a guy wearing the bad mullet, and you think, well, doesn't one of his friends, like, doesn't anyone pipe up? And they go, well, I guess they're scared to say anything. This is the ultimate.
Yeah.
This is... yeah, Bert, you got a tennis bracelet stuck to your forehead.
Go and peel that off.
Why don't you scrape that off? It's not like you have a little piece of broccoli on your tooth. You actually got the whole De Beers collection is stuffed into the right side of your face. You don't want to pop one of those off? How about you pop one of those off, we get a condo.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right, so Drew, you did see that movie, and you agree with me.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Abigail?
Yeah, hi.
You're 19?
Uh-huh.
He should have been in Diamonds Are Forever, because they were forever stuck to this guy's face, and it drove me nuts.
Maybe it's some sort of allegory for that, some sort of illusion.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. I've had 2 piercings grow out because my body didn't like it, and I was like, this guy's had it in there for 3 years? It didn't make sense.
You saw that, James? You saw Die
yeah,
Another
I did.
Day? Or yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, diamonds
I
stuck all over the guy's face. All right, go ahead. What's going on?
Okay, so I've been dating this guy for about 3 months, and I'm really falling in love with him, and that worries me a little because I'm a professional dominatrix, and I haven't told him yet, and he's a really good guy, and I don't want to screw it up. So I was wondering, like, if I should tell him at all, and if I should, what, like, how I can do that, because really moral, religious background, I'm really not sure how he's going to take it.
He's very moral and very religious.
Yeah, he's pretty adventurous, like, sexually, but he's also really kind of possessive.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he would take well to the fact that I, you know...
Well, how old is he?
23.
And you guys have been going out for how long?
About 3 months, a little more.
3 months. You're in love. And this is a full-time gig for you, this dominatrix gig?
No, I have another job, and I'm a student.
Oh, so it's you're not doing it too much then, right?
Well, you know, like 8 hours a day.
Ew.
I'm getting off work right now. I'm on my way home.
Oh, wait a second. All right, so I say this is your gig, and you're a student, and you have another job, but you still work this 8 hours a day.
It's California. You have to have 3 jobs to survive.
Okay, so you work 40 hours a week as a dominatrix.
No, because my other job's part-time. Oh, yes, I do. My other job is part-time.
And then you go to school?
So I have to take more hours, yeah.
Part-time, too?
School? No, I'm a full-time student. It's just since it's summer, I'm working more hours.
Ah.
Okay, but normally... Okay, anyway.
Normally,
I shouldn't try to talk to anyone about anything.
I don't sleep much.
Okay, so you do everything full-time. So, and how much do you make doing this dominatrix stuff?
$60 an hour.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
The what?
Old houses, I got $15 an hour, and there's a bitch yelling at me the whole time.
That's rough.
Yeah, and you get tipped, right?
Depends on the client. Sometimes they'll tip, sometimes they'll bring presents, sometimes they won't. It's kind of, you know, when I don't ask for it.
Yeah.
If they do, it's nice.
$60 an hour is what you get, and then what's the house get?
$60.
So you just whack the $120 an hour right in half, huh?
Right, it's a half and half thing.
Do you give them a full hour?
Uh-huh.
It's not like that shrinks 49 minutes? Or the masseuse with the 46-minute massage?
Kind of a kink therapy thing.
All right. No, and now, how close do you ever get close to sex with these guys?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, how dare you?
Not at
how
all.
How dare
that's
you
not,
think of such a thing?
That's not a part of it, you know?
Well,
I mean,
aren't they masturbating?
Sometimes.
Oh, but how dare you suggest sex is part of this, Adam? How dare you?
Okay.
Yeah.
It is a sexual thing for some people. Some people really just enjoy, like, the domination aspect of it.
Yeah, so they can jack off in their car.
They're embarrassed to jack off in front of them.
Yeah, just
right,
enjoy the domination.
There's no kind of sexual contact. I don't take off any clothes. I don't show
what
them.
What do you wear normally?
God.
What's this got to do with my boyfriend?
Hey, who cares? What do you wear when you do this stuff?
God, whatever I feel like wearing that day. Normally, like, a skirt or a long skirt or a corset, heels.
Do they call you madam something?
I prefer ma'am.
Ma'am, ooh, that's nice.
And Abigail's my professional name.
I see. And who are the guys you see mostly? White guys, right?
White guys, middle aged, professionals.
Yeah.
Nine to fivers.
Yeah, it's weird. The guys, it's guys who work hard for a living and get their ass kicked by society don't want more ass kicking in the bed. They want the opposite. They want someone like, here's $100, put your ass in the air and shut up.
Well, generally, I find it's either something like that or they're married and they, you know, don't feel like they could bring this up to their wives.
Right.
And so, you know,
how does this go in terms of the law? I mean, you know, once in a while, these vice guys come around and try to bust these Oriental massage parlors and stuff. Do you ever get in any trouble?
No, because we don't do anything having to do with sexual contact. We don't touch them. They don't touch us. And if they try, they're out of there.
I know, but how about the part where the guy's beating off? Does that count as something?
Masturbation is allowed in public areas as it is. I mean, you have any idea how many people masturbate in the streets of San Francisco?
Yeah, that's illegal. That's not legal. It's illegal.
You figure that's legal?
I don't think it's illegal. Not as far as I know.
I guarantee you it's illegal.
Listen, you drink a beer or you take a leak at a park, you get a ticket. you think you can beat off? What do you think Pee Wee Herman got busted for?
Are you serious? Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah. Abigail, where you been?
She's been in a dungeon for the last 5 years. There's no light.
She doesn't have cable.
She doesn't get USA Today at the dungeon.
She's been
living in the Iron Age. All right, so listen, Abigail. This is gonna affect your relationship.
Yeah, I know.
And it's probably not a great thing for you either in terms of just you as a human being. It's gonna take its toll.
It's a weird thing
to be involved with. Yeah.
Well, I don't really think so because I've been doing this for a while and I'm an actress and it's fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we didn't say you didn't.
I mean,
people in their own bedrooms, you know, spank each other and tie each other up. And
all right. Hold on. Let me just
People also have sex in their bedroom, but they don't take money for it. I'm as liberal as
the next guy, but all this sort of retarded rationale stuff. Yeah. It's the same stuff we hear from the porn stars and the prostitutes. Yeah. It's like, well, I don't see why it has to be dirty. Why should sex be people in their bedroom? Now, people in their bedroom have sex, but why not just be a prostitute then?
Because I'm not sleeping with them.
But people in their bedroom have sex.
Because, sex is something that anybody can do. Just, you know, you get like...
Oh, listen, you're standing there wearing a cat of nine, swinging a cat of nine tails while some 44-year-old guy's beating off. It's going to take its toll. Okay, so anyway, we don't think the relationship will survive this, especially if the guy's semi-conservative. And here's the other thing, too, everybody. People are animals, first and foremost,
Absolutely.
And we sniff. We sniff around. And it's sad, but it's true, but it works. Mm-hmm. And when kids see somebody who's crippled, they get weird. Mm-hmm. It's like an instinctual thing. Mm-hmm. Like you see somebody who's hurt, you see somebody who's not right, you have a reaction to it. Mm-hmm. And when somebody tells you that they're doing something that feels weird, your little spidey sense tingles, and it should. You know what I mean? And it's not that you wouldn't, like, I wouldn't not go out with Abigail because, I mean, I'm an atheist who, says, grow a pot plant in your living room, feed it with semen off watching bootlegged, scrambled porn. Yeah, I don't care about anything. I would just care that she was screwed up. Yeah. Would all be about her being screwed up, right. Not what she does.
Well, the fact that this is fun to her speaks volumes about what's going on in her emotional life. Not that there's anything wrong with what she's doing in some sort of abstract sense, but it speaks volumes about her capacity to have a relationship, and the kind of internal issues that are driving her to this.
Yeah.
Making this fun, making this okay.
Here's what I predict. I predict she's going to tell this guy, and he's going to freak out, and she'll get what she wanted.
Right, that's right.
Which is the end of another relationship.
That's right.
Thank you. Jessica?
Or this guy,
What?
This guy may be super codependent. You may see this guy, I'll make a different prediction. This guy's going to dig into her drama.
Mm.
This guy needs this kind of drama.
Try to root her out of this.
Root her out, get involved with it, get jealous, get high. And they're going to have a hugely chaotic and maybe even, a lot of turmoil, even to the point of like violent outbursts and stuff. You're going to see all that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
No, wait a second then. Hold on. Where's that? I got to get Abigail back.
Fine.
Abigail.
Yeah.
All right, you tell him, and then call us back, tell us what he says.
Well, give it about 2 weeks into it. Let it fester for a couple weeks and see what he does with it.
Yeah, we got to tell him first.
And then, back at home, back at the home studio, get her number, and we'll call her back a couple weeks.
So what happens when I, call and it's busy for a million years?
No, we're going to call you back.
We'll call you back.
Okay.
I'll call you at the dungeon. All right, good times.
Oh, we'll be right back.
Yeah, now we got to go to break, but hold on a second. I couldn't imagine the dominatrix stuff. $120. It's always a fat white guy too. It makes it that much more pathetic. He's always in his underpants.
Remember,
he's got
dominatrixes up here, and they were talking about the guys that would pull the Cinderella's carriages around, pretend they were ponies.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
It just made me feel so awful for these men that they're in such pain, that this is some way of sort of acting that pain out.
It's so funny, though. But here's the thing, too. It's like the riding, basically, there's a whole part where they pull a wagon and they act like ponies and they rear up and they make noises and they hit them with a little riding crop and stuff like that. But here's the deal.
It's
they're
so
on a piece of soiled AstroTurf down by the airport.
Yes.
That's the part that really makes it sad to me. Like, if they're if they're on some beautiful rolling hills and
Cinderella's castle,
and then they're like, the English countryside or something. That's maybe, but they're in some crappy cinder block bunker with some semen-stained AstroTurf on the ground.
Now you scare me. You know a little too much about what these places look like.
She said it was down by the airport.
No, she didn't.
She did.
She's in San Francisco.
No, not her. The dominate.
You're right.
We're on the horses, remember, goofball?
Yeah, you're right.
Jesus Christ. By the airport, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, everything's by the goddamn airport.
Of course.
All right, we'll be back after this. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. David Alan Greer. You know him as Dag. Tomorrow night in the Loveline studio. And I guarantee.
Now he's on the Bonnie Hunt show.
Yeah. My Life with Bonnie. That's ABC show. Coming back for a second strong season. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow night.
Dag and I will do this rap together.
Yeah.
That's for the record.
Dag may do one of his cheers, too.
Oh, no doubt.
Dag does some good cheers.
Can we hear one?
See my finger, see my thumb. We got the ball, you better run. S-O-C-K-I-T, sock it to me. Baby, my head is aching. My hips are tight. I'm just shaking from left to right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Cash check, don't take no job. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on, baby, we're going to win.
That's a chair, baby. That's a chair.
Here we come, a trucking in. Yeah. Bet you wonder where we've been. We're a team that can't be beat. Because we're funky on our feet.
You got the funk, all right.
See my fingers.
He's got a lot of them. We got to release a CD. Where did he go to high school? Kaz Tech?
Michigan or something?
Yeah.
Michigan.
What the? We got to find out what Kaz was. Jessica?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yes, I'm 14.
All right. So, 7-year-old boyfriend comes within 1 minute of penetration each time.
Wait, what? 7-year-old?
Yeah, okay. With a 7-year-old, yes.
Yes.
No, he's 17.
Right.
Right.
And, he'll come in, 2 minutes. And I don't know what to do about it, and I don't know what to say to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it doesn't do anything to me. I'll just, it's just, I don't know what to tell him.
Why having sex with him? Doesn't sound like a good time.
I don't know, it was just a thing where he was like, if you love me, you'll do it. And we just started having sex a few months ago, 4 months ago. And
what are you using for protection?
Condoms.
Mm-hmm. You have a morning after pill around?
What?
Morning after pill, you ever heard of that?
No.
If the condom ever breaks or slips off, there's a pill you can take that can prevent the pregnancy.
Oh.
So you got to get your hands on that. And keep it around, just in case. Condoms occasionally have a problem.
Can you go get that morning after pill?
Can I get it?
Would you please get it?
Listen.
Please get it.
What's your first language?
English.
Oh, you're not from Ecuador or something?
No.
No? Is this English? Oh, okay. What grade is he supposed to be in?
He's 17, and so he's a junior.
And you're a freshman?
He's going to be a senior this year?
He's going to be a senior. I'm going to be a sophomore.
It's almost under our wire here.
Yeah.
All right. And so you haven't discussed this with him, that there's things you need to sort of be satisfied.
But I don't know what to say to him because...
I don't know if I can have the conversation with a 14-year-old.
Yeah. Aren't you going into the ninth grade?
No.
All right. You're 14.
When are you 15?
October.
All right, getting close.
All right, why don't you just go ahead and, I'm sure he's aware of it.
Yeah, just tell him. Here's just a piece of advice in sort of a general sense. Men want to please. They need direction. You need to guide them. You need to tell them.
He's just a six-pump chump, and I don't know what to say to him.
This is bogus.
Yeah.
I'm actually happy that it's bogus.
Yeah, we're glad this is bogus. All right, we'll see you in hell, all right, Jessica?
Liar, whore, and you know it.
That's a relief. Good.
Yeah, because otherwise we're telling some 14-year-old, he has to provide more clitoral stimulation upon penetration. How about a vibrator or a water pick?
Oh, my God.
Does it go down on you?
Water pick? A water pick shower head. No, you're telling me something about water picks?
You know what a water pick is?
No. Yeah, those little things for your teeth?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
You're adventuresome.
Well,
I think that would cut the clitoris.
Let's make it a joke. Oh.
I thought you were telling me something you knew.
The water pick?
Yeah.
I could imagine a woman could get something going with a water pick. Really? Water pick, by the way, was the only non-toothbrush item you put in your mouth for 30 years.
Yeah.
People had those things. Remember, they fill up the reservoir, and that kind of course.
But they're like a laser. There was the pressure would hurt.
Maybe that would have got the diamonds out of the guy's face in the James Bond movie. Still stuck in his.
But there were so many other great scenes in that movie.
I know, but nobody piped up. And he was actually in a hospital. Half his scenes were done in a clinic. You showing, I don't care if you're showing limping. If you got a nice goiter or something in your neck, a doctor will go, hey, if you taking a look at that? He's coming into this clinic so he can do his anti-aging or something, but any doctor is going to go, listen, while I got you under, you want me to just go ahead and knock those diamonds out of your face? Or Is that,
it's my calling card.
Is that kind of a, like a little twist on the black athlete thing with the gold and the tooth? Or is, what do you got going there? Yeah, right. And, you know, it was funny, too. They it was sort
They're
of
perfectly distributed. Yeah, but, evenly.
Yeah, it was Orion's belt was in this gook's forehead. All right, now listen, Drew.
I'm listening.
The thing is that what they also did is they did the fake scrape next to, you know, they next to the diamonds, they still had the little sort of scar. No, but it wasn't a scar. It looked like a wound that was 2 weeks old. You know what I mean? Because if that had all healed and you just saw the guy with the diamonds in his face, you would have said,
no,
this is the most ridiculous thing I ever saw. So you had to have these sort of, it looked like you scraped yourself. What a scrape looks, what a good sized scrape or a little burn.
Right.
Like what a burn looks like 2 weeks later. Those were next to them. But it's like, it's been 3 years. Those would have gone away by now, right? Especially with the whole...
Scars.
Yeah, but they weren't scars. They were like, they still had powder burns on them. All right. Where were we, Drew? Liz?
Hi.
You're 15?
Yeah. Hey, Adam.
What's up?
I love you, Adam. You're the best.
Thank you.
I was calling because, like, I heard somewhere along the way that if you use a vibrator, that it makes your, like, clit go numb eventually.
There we go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Maybe a little sensitivity decrease, or you can get sort of dependent on it, but it doesn't harm anything.
Can, like, the bathtub do the same thing?
No, I'd say no.
Hi,
but again,
you
can make. All right.
Oh, I had to belch again, Drew. But what about just any?
Well, you had wine with dinner too.
No, I didn't.
Ooh. Well, there's wine sauce in the wine in the sauce. That's
no, it's just lasagna. No wine yet today.
Okay.
I'm on a roll. I haven't smoked a cigarette or drank any wine yet.
Today?
Not today. No.
Oh, today.
But the night is young,
yeah,
you know. I can go home and light up a cigarette and drink some wine. That's my thing. But what about this, Drew?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it by like you listen to loud music, eventually it affects your hearing? You know what I mean? Oh, she hung up. Fine. But no free lunches in nature.
Yeah, I mean, yes, there is something called sort of, it's called jackhammer syndrome or something, where men that operate jackhammers get permanent numbness in their hands from the intense vibratory damage to their peripheral nerves. And I imagine there's some possibility of that to the clitoris, because that's a very rich nervous supplied area, you know.
Right.
But you're not hitting it with a jackhammer, the reality is. It's just vibrating.
Yeah, but the equivalent-wise is the thing is being stimulated to a sort of unnatural degree.
Yeah.
Almost sort of like taking drugs, in a sense.
In a way, but don't you think we'd hear more about real serious desensitization of people? Because a lot of women use them.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of like the squirter thing.
People don't talk about it?
Yeah, I'm not sure who's...
They would talk about it here, though, you would think.
Yeah, but we're not talking to people that are old enough who have enough. There's pack years in smokers.
Yeah.
Chris, you doctors keep track of smokers.
Pack years.
We call them pack years.
These are vibe years.
Yeah, these would be C-cell battery years or something like that. I mean, you have to work this one out. But I mean, these are you have to work out a unit of measurement for hours logged on the vibrator. You know what
right,
I mean?
It's not every day.
No, but it could. I mean, here's the thing. If somebody used a vibrator twice a week for 2 minutes at a time.
Dilled hours.
This would be the equivalent of somebody smoking a cigarette at night at a party or something. But not really. That's not a pack year. That's not a real smoker. But someone who's logging 20 minutes, 45 minutes a day, every day. Now that's, dilled hours. What do you call them?
Dilled hours, yeah. No?
Yeah, that's not bad. So how many dilled hours do you log a year? And if that number times 365 or divided into 365 comes out to be more than about 10 minutes a day,
you're in trouble.
I predict trouble down the road.
Could be.
Plus, you got a whole, like a landfill full of Duracells, too. I mean, you women are destroying the environment. Us guys, we use C-cell batteries for what God meant them to, flashlights. Occasionally, there's an earthquake or a power outage or something. We pull out the flashlight, but you guys are just flying like firing a machine gun at shell case. They're just flying it. Think about what vibrators do for the battery industry every year.
Hmm.
Pretty solid, I would think.
I got to think of a better unit than dildo. It's got to be something good.
It's good for you.
If I've come up with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
It's
solid.
Yeah. Kaylee?
Oh, she's sleeping, yeah?
She's been on hold for 105 minutes. Kaylee?
Oh, yes.
Kaylee?
Yes.
There we are.
What's up?
I was just wondering, I have been attracted to girls lately, and I've been fantasizing about them, and I was just wondering if that's normal for a girl my age.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Yeah. The word, like, normal is sort of...
Yeah. Well, there is no normal here at Loveline. But that's...
That may or may not mean anything.
It may or may not mean anything?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
Do you have any recent trauma or anything like that around guys?
Well, kind of.
What
it
happened?
Was about 6 months ago. I was dating this guy. He was 22, and he just got divorced with his wife.
And what happened?
Well, he was at Fort Carson, so he was going to go overseas a few months later. But
what happened?
Then his wife called him and wanted him back, so he broke off things with me to go back with his wife.
Okay.
Ex-wife at the time.
Yeah. All right. A little chaos, but nothing big. You're fine. Do what you want.
Okay.
Check it out. Screw around with the chick, see if you like it. You'll probably know, you know, at the end whether it's for you or not. Okay. Their phone keeps cutting in and out. So we got to take a break anyway. All right. Gotta go. I gotta whiz.
All right. Me too.
You wanna go?
Yeah. Let's go.
All right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Drew was just telling me Jaws was boring.
Not boring, is it that how little tension there was as compared to how compelling it seemed back in 1974.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You had a shorter or longer attention span
right,
back
that's
then.
That's what I was saying.
But still a horrible example
well,
is
I
what
was,
I was saying. Because Jaws was a nice slow build. I mean, the chick gets it at the beginning, and then they go find the shark, and they gut the shark, that's back when movies had a little time. Other movies weren't nipping at their heels; they didn't have to like outdo everything.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you, I find it. I've been overwhelmed. Like I saw Pirates of the Caribbean, I thought it was a good movie, but too much.
Yeah, yeah.
It became overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know what it becomes like? It's like, I love dessert. I love a hot fudge sundae. I love some peach cobbler with some ice cream on it. But I don't want to just tilt my head back and have someone empty a can of whipped cream into my mouth.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I'd be digging it for about 3 or 4 seconds, but eventually it's like, hold on. Let me. I need a little something salty here so I can have something to balance it against.
Some nuance.
There's this sort of 45 minutes of just action on top of each other. It's like you stop. All right. So they built a scale of a pirate ship, full scale, and they just blew it up in some harbor somewhere. So what else? Karen?
Yeah?
All right. 16.
Yeah.
What's
up? Problem is, like, I've never been abused. I've never been molested or anything. Like, I've had a perfect childhood. But
it's perfect childhood.
Well, like, as perfect as it can be. Like, my parents fight every once in a while, but they've stayed together, and they loved me and supported me. But, like, I keep pushing guys away, and, like, I've had some really great guys that have cared about me, and I just push them away.
You know, I think sometimes between 16 and 20, that kind of behavior is sort of protective.
Yeah.
In other words, it's like, I'm really not ready to get more involved here. I just find some way to sabotage this. This is too much too soon. I'm not ready. And that's good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm, like, I take care of myself. I mean, I know if it feels right, I'm going to do it. And if it doesn't, then I'm not going to do it.
Relax. Just relax. I predict that when you're ready to start getting involved with guys, you won't keep pushing them away. That's my prediction. Now you're pushing away because you're not ready. You're too young. You don't want to get involved in more intense. It's a protective sort of mechanism.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yeah.
Hey, you're 16. We don't need to talk about that. All 16-year-old chicks are goofy with guys. Chicks, they start going goofy about 15 with the guys, and they stay goofy until their mid to later 20s. So go ahead and expect a good 10-year run there, fellas. And if the chick's hot and she's 21 and you're 21.
Forget it.
Yeah. Eric? I mean, they'll entertain the notion of going out with you for a few weeks or something, but it's just never. You got nothing. And no bargain.
No horsepower.
No place to bargain. Go ahead, Eric. You're 6. What now?
18.
What's up?
Yeah, I've been going out with this girl for, like over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And before I met her, I was going out with her sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
How old is the sister?
Her sister's, like, what? I think, like, 20 years old. She's older than her.
You don't know how old her sister is that you went out with?
No, she's 20 years old.
Did you just date her once?
Yeah, I just dated her once for, like, less than a month.
For less than a month?
Less than a month.
You date her for less than a month. Did you have sex with her?
Yeah.
Why do we? I just get the total bogus vibe from Eric.
Listen, here's the deal, Eric. We care about this call about as much as you care about this call, and that doesn't seem like very much. We're at really the bottom of our care barrel.
Well, it's because it's either bogus or he doesn't care, or both.
Or sometimes people have that weird nationality where everything that comes out of their mouth sounds like they don't care or they're lying. You know, like when they interview guys from the Middle East on 60 Minutes. We have great respect for women, and it's like, you know, it's like it just feels like everyone's lying. You know, like when you see a fat guy in a general's uniform talking,
yeah,
but the bad general's uniform of the hokey country we're trying to beat up on, it just always feels like a lie.
Yeah,
Eric, what's your nationality?
I'm Mexican.
All right, well, that's not an insincere nationality.
No,
you should be able to put a little more into this. What's the question?
Well, I was wondering because, like, I went out with her. I'm still going out with her, right?
But, you know, with the sister, yeah.
Not with the sister. Yeah, with the younger sister, the one I broke up with already. But she found out and everything already. But it just seems like, I don't know, it's not worth it to keep it going because.
All right. Cause we'll buy that. Let me make this. Okay, we say break up. Fine. I'll also make this announcement to everybody.
You're screwing with a sisterly relationship. That's not good.
Also, under the best of circumstances, relationships are tough when you're 18. When you got that situation where
my best friend used to date, or there were
roommates, and we started, and she's my stepsister, and I'm banging her, you know, this stuff always goes south. I mean, here's what it is. You are trying to negotiate an obstacle course in a wheelchair as it is. And now we've just eliminated, now we've just added the rope swing to it, and you're screwed. You ain't going to make it. All right. Where are we, Drew?
I'm going to make David Alan Greer read my book.
On the air?
No, I'll make him, I'll confront him on the air about it, but I'll make him read it when he goes home.
Yeah, he'll love it. Katie?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, well, I've been told my whole life, since I was little and stuff, that my mom has been telling me that my dad has been, like my dad is a convicted, like, child molester, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has told us that, like, he's done stuff to me and my younger sister. Mm-hmm. And, like, but, like, I don't remember that, and I don't think he has. Mm-hmm. And stuff, so I was wondering if that could have the same effect on me, like relationship-wise.
Being somebody
told that than actually having it done.
It won't necessarily, if he didn't do it and your mom is sort of...
This is how we'll be able to tell.
Yeah. If she's indoctrinating you into men are bad and that sort of thing, that's not going to help your relationships, but it won't create the same kind of problems that actually having been abused would have.
Who did he abuse? Or what's he... Is he in jail?
No, he's out.
Was he in jail for what he did to you and your sister?
I don't think he did anything to us. That's just what I'm...
Was he in jail for what he allegedly did to you and your... No, he's in jail.
Always so tough.
He did something to somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, who is he accused of doing something to?
Some of my older sister's friends when they were like 7, so it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how old's your older sister now?
She's 18.
Okay. So are you going to have a relationship with this guy now that he's out?
No, like I did at first and not anymore.
Good. You don't owe him anything.
No.
He's a bad person.
Yeah.
So here's the problem. You may have screwed up relationships just anyway, just by virtue of the fact that your dad is a child molester, whether he molested you or not.
Right.
Okay.
But if he molested you, you could really start going south.
You'll have more, yeah, more chaos.
And you should probably, if he did molest you, though, at this point, you should have a second personality or be suicidal. You know, and there should be something really coming, right?
Okay.
If this completely went unchecked.
Maybe completely shut down to sex or confusion about your sexual orientation or hypersexual.
Why would your mom tell you this? If
maybe
it, why,
maybe
oh,
she
no,
needed it to get custody of the kids away from this child molesting dad.
No, they wouldn't have.
Yeah, why not?
Why? The dad could be the CEO of the Times Corporation and wouldn't let. If they get divorced, you don't get the kids. No one gets the kid.
Maybe she doesn't want him to see him and that kind of thing. Just wants.
Yeah, but yeah. Just his felony conviction will see to that. Hey, Katie.
Yeah.
Katie.
Yeah.
Oh, phone line screwing up. All right, she'll probably come back.
Hello.
There it is. Katie.
Oh, wait a minute. That was Anderson talking. Katie.
Yes.
Okay. So, what the hell was my question? Oh. Your mom, here's the thing. Why do you suspect your mom would lie?
I guess she just wants us to hate him, which, like, I don't know.
Yeah, isn't him, I mean, being a child molester sort of good enough?
Well, I did hate him, but she's just, my mom's not altogether, like, ever.
Yeah, so. Well, because she got molested.
I don't know.
She must have, yeah.
Yeah, that's why she hooked up with this creep. But anyway, listen, you're fine. If you feel like acting out, call us.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right? Okay.
All
right.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, have a good times. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's got to be rough. My dad was a substitute school teacher. I was humiliated. What's your dad do? Molest. Yeah. Emphasis on finger banging. It's minor in diddling. He wrote a thesis on cornholing. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yep, well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank you all for stopping by and listening. David Alan Greer in here tomorrow night. Dag.
Nice.
That is my main man. And I always use him, by the way, when I'm talking to black folks. you don't know, but you will drop your black friend's name.
That's nice.
Like when I go to the gym, when my trainer's black, and I'll be sitting there with him in the Wayne's brothers, and I'll always awkwardly work in Dag's name. How's David doing? Dag? Yeah, he's a friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine. I mean, he's cool. I mean, you know, we're cool with each other. He comes on the show. You know, we hang. Oh, and, you know, it's one of those things. So anyway.
Good times, right?
Yeah. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Okay, right. What's up? You a big gal?
No, actually I'm pretty petite.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.